Gary, our strategy is for you guys to work the kinks out, then we'll come in, clean everything up. It's our Twin Link 3. So I would like to begin to acknowledge my colleagues that are co-authors on this paper, and I'm going to give a little more international perspective on what some of the data we've generated thus far. We've looked at our Twin Link Plus concept 2 years now, and so what I'd like to do is then share a little bit of that. But first, what's the concept? And it's similar to what you've heard before from Monsanto and as well as from Dow in terms of breeding a stack of Cry1AB, in our case, Cry2AE, which is a proprietary gene of ours, Bayer, and as well the VIP3A or the COT102 event that we've got quite a bit of experience with. And obviously what we're trying to do is to improve control of Helicoverpa in the U.S., certainly improve the control of Spadoptera with the particularly with the Twin Link product. Cry2AE is highly active on Spadoptera, but not the best gene that exists. And then, of course, everybody is looking at improving the durability of these products in terms of the stacks and IRM value. Everybody's aware of that. Our stacks will be a stack with the Liberty Link tolerance that's inherent in the Twin Link, but also stacked with the glycol tolerance, at least the initial product. And we're going to release this pending regulatory approvals in 2016. So as far as the data, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on Helicoverpa because that's basically what we deal with in the U.S. Also, we've got a little bit of data on Spadoptera in the U.S., some data from Australia on Armidra. We've got sister species in Argentina called Helicoverpa gelatopium that we've got a little bit of data with. And then we've got multiple species we'll talk about in Brazil. And I'd like to welcome we got a lot of Brazilian colleagues here, so it should be of some interest to them. All right, so what I'm going to do, it's somewhat been my philosophy developing these BT products, that the average doesn't tell you a whole lot. We figure out pretty quickly what averages do. It's really what happens on the extreme side of the population pressures that we really want to know where do these technologies stack up. And I need to mention here that in our case, we'll compare not only with TwinLink, but we'll also compare with Bolgard 2, and that's because Monsanto and Bayer has signed a cross-testing agreement such that we allow each other now to test cotton technologies that are currently available on the marketplace when we do these comparison testings. So you'll see comparisons with Bolgard 2. And what you see across the top of this graph would be non-BT, Bolgard 2, and average. And what I mean by average is if we're looking at more than one variety of Bolgard 2, we're taking an average of the numbers for all the Bolgard 2 lines. The same thing for the Twin Link and then the Twin Link Plus. And you can see when you've got your peak boll damage at 20%, 28%, 30% moderate infestation, you're going to see basically excellent control essentially with all of these technologies. Now you look down at the one situation we had in 2012, and that was in Stoneville, Mississippi, and this is a little bit what Don Cook was talking about earlier, the same population pressure that they were looking at. Had 98% damage in the non-BT, and Fibromax Bolgard 2, they had 1% at peak boll damage, and 13% under this type of pressure under the GLT. And of course, that raised the question, is there really that much difference between Bolgard 2 and Twin Link in terms of bollworm control? And he said, well, I talked to Jeff about this, and he said, well, we had a sister test in that trial where Delta Pine 0912 had 11% damage, but the 1050 only had 2% damage. So, I made this point a little bit earlier, is the variety will have a significant impact on these observations, and sometimes we see effects from the varieties that are independent of the proteins that are involved, and we may see a little bit of that in my further data. So this is basically all the data from the southeast, and again, fairly moderate pressure in most all of these trials, and you can see very good control. Jeremy Green had probably the best pressure in 2012, up to nearly 80% damage in his non-VT. And looking at that location more specifically, you can see the four rating times in the non-VT. And down here we had a Bogard 2 variety A, a second Bogard 2 variety B, a twin link background that was unique, but then a second background. Now these are not necessarily commercial lines of twin link, but just we're looking at the impact of different germplasms as it interacts with the insect control. And basically you can see with this level of damage, which is high but not extreme, certainly would be extreme if you were a grower. But as we're evaluating these technologies, we really like to see 100% damage in the non-VT. But you can see, in essence, the Bogard 2, A or B, the twin link, all of these perform very, very well. Everything below basically 5% bole damage. But there again, you can see the difference between one variety and another in terms of the levels of damage that can occur. So this was in 2013 at Jeremy's site. He did get 100% bole damage. Again, three rating dates here. In this particular year, we're only looking at one Bogard 2 variety, but we're looking at Twin Link and Twin Link Plus in sister line varieties. So you got Twin Link A and Twin Link Plus A. So this similar genetic background, as would be the case for the B and the C and the D. And basically, bottom line is we're not getting statistical differences when we add the VIP 3A to the twin link, because the twin link is doing a pretty good job to begin with. We might have seen some statistical differences here, and maybe I've got the statistics next. So this is, if you look at across those three rating dates, the statistics involved, you do see that with that one variety, we did get a significant improvement in the bollworm control in that genetic background. And as well, I guess we got the same thing here, but not in these two varieties. So again, it's very, very important to understand these technologies if we're trying to parse out what a technology does, particularly in comparison to another technology, that you look at a number of varieties to cover the impact of the variety. So Dominic got some pretty fair pressure in his location in North Carolina, 70% bole damage, near 70% bole damage, which is in red. But you can see here that essentially all the technologies, the Bogard 2, the Twin Links, Twin Link Plus, were all excellent in performance. Scott Stewart, moderate amount of damage, and this is total percent fruit damage, squares plus boles. And you can see basically the same result. A good control with Bogard 2, improvement in that twin link line A again, same here, actually same here, probably similar results there. So that's more or less the bollworm experiences that we've had thus far, and as been stated before, it's hard to get these secondary pests anymore these days in field trials, and so we have to do cage type work to try to assess what we're doing on secondary pests. So this is Spodoptera frugiperda. Ryan Jackson did this for us in 2012. Infested cages, I believe with larvae in this case. Ryan in the room? Ryan, was that larvae or adults? Adults, okay. He infested adults, let the moths lay their eggs naturally on the plants, and you can see square damage, flower damage, bole damage rated. Here's Bogard 2, here's Twin Link, here's Twin Link Plus. Now Roger Leonard tells me he's done a lot of work with the VIP3A protein, and one of the great advantages of adding the VIP3A to these Stack VT products, he says it's probably the best spodopterin protein that exists, at least currently that we're aware of. So as true to form, we are seeing significant improvement of spodoptera control by adding the VIP3A. So moving to Australia, so for a while we had to go through a quarantine there with our Twin Link Plus. And so we took some of that time to do some bioassays, looking at leaf bioassays in particular, putting larvae on leaves, the non-VT, the twin link plus, and the colors represent how many L2s, how many third instar larvae or fourth instar larvae developed. And you can see you've got quite good development of larvae, as you would expect on the non-VT. But on the twin link, essentially you only have 9 of the larvae that are developing to the second instar stage, none that are developing beyond that. And then with the twin link plus, you do see a reduction in the number of larvae making the second instar, and then no third instar larvae. So one of the field trials that was conducted last season by Jonathan Holloway there in Australia, the non-VT, 80% boll damage due to Armidra. Twin link, this was peak boll damage infestation. Twin link was around 15%, but not statistically different, 5% or less with twin link plus. So again, numerical improvements. But what I do think is that we're going to see consistently improved levels of control with Helicoverpa with twin link plus. But as with the other technologies, I don't know that we're going to necessarily walk away from these fields in terms of needing to scout them for Helicoverpa, Armidra, Azalea, any of those species. So moving to Argentina, we had a location there that we had one trial. And this is measuring square damage, non-VT. You can see as much as 90% square damage at the last rating date. Here's the twin link. It did have about 5% that last rating date. Twin link plus really didn't differ a whole lot in terms of the square damage, but certainly a significant reduction from the non-VT. And this may be a little bit of what Don Cook was talking about in terms of seeing more square damage in these VT cottons today than what we saw in the early years. And I will confirm that, yeah, in the early years of Bollgard, you rarely saw much square damage unless you had extremely heavy populations. So from a boll protection standpoint, which is what we know to be what's really producing the yields, we had 100% boll damage from this Helicoverpa species. Twin link actually was quite excellent, and essentially we saw no boll damage with the twin link plus. So my last set of slides, I'm going to show some data from Brazil. You know, in Brazil, they've got multiple species they're dealing with. They've got a cadre of leaf-eating Lepidoptera. They've got several fruit-feeding Lepidoptera, and many times they're dealing with these species all at the same time. So one of the ways that they're rating the plots there is they actually survey the plants for surviving larvae, record larvae that are there on a percent plant infested basis. And so what you're going to see in these graphs are basically percent infested plants by species, and I've tried to keep the colors associated with the species. So, and we had two sites here. This is the non-VT, and you can see early infestation of the Alabama species, cotton leaf worm, soybean looper come in a little bit later. Once cotton starts fruiting, you see Helicoverpa come in the non-VT. And a little bit of Spidoptera frugiperta here in that green line there. So when you look at twin link or twin link plus at this particular site, essentially they didn't see any surviving larvae. So both technologies in this case was doing an excellent job under this level of pressure. Just to give you some sense of trying to spray this type of population out, you can see you do a good job of reducing the numbers, but you're still picking up some of each of the species there in those plots. So the second site, a few more species. In this case, you've got Spidoptera iridania involved. It's another leaf-eating Spidopteran, the Alabama, Pseudoplugia, loopers, and then both Spidoptera frugiperta and Helicoverpa feeding now in the more fruiting boll-producing stage. And you can see how these species all get mixed up in at the same time or overlap with one another. This is the non-VT in this particular case. So in the twin link, essentially the leaf feeding pests are controlled very, very well. You still pick up some Spodoptera, a few Helicoverpa, but in the twin link plus, essentially eliminated all of these species from developing beyond a second instar. So, and then again, once again, in these plots, and I'm not exactly sure how many applications were made. Typically, they're going to make 6-8 applications to control these pests. But under that type of regime, you're still getting these pests in the field and doing some damage. So basically, in summary, and I've given you just a real quick overview, but you know, our objective is to improve, for us in the U.S. primarily, is to improve the consistency of control of Helicoverpa species, and we believe that the addition of VIP-3A will do that. And we do occasionally get significant Spodoptera populations, and we're hopeful that that this protein will pretty well take care of those populations when they show up. And then lastly, and maybe more importantly, we're looking for the IRM value of this new product, and we certainly believe for the high dose pests that exist, where we have proteins in this mix that are high dose, that we will definitely improve the durability, and hope the same thing happens for those that aren't necessarily the high dose pests, particularly Helicoverpa and the Spodoptera species. And that's all I've got. Appreciate your time.
We have time for a couple questions.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.